Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com. The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and I have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything, at a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child, and that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
If you're looking for the best all-you-can-eat buffet in town for only $1.99, come to Big Ed's Chow House. If you're looking for juicy burgers, come to Big Ed's Chow House. If you're looking for tender brisket and succulent ribs, come to Big Ed's Chow House. But if you're looking for Big Ed, don't come to Big Ed's Chow House. Big Ed passed away last week at the age of 47, leaving his wife and 3 children, struck down in his prime by the same disease that got his father. So he won't be around to take care of his family. And the sad part is it all could have been detected early with a simple test, but Big Ed didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to ahrq.gov. Once again, that's ahrq.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more.
Are you ready?
Of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed. I think it's the Ron Kelly Show. Maybe I spoke too soon about not having any problems, but this is the Ron Kelly Show right here on blogtalkradio.com for the moment. Thank you, everybody, for joining me this morning on a gray and cloudy morning here in New Jersey, northern New Jersey, New York metropolitan area, where the Ron Kelly Show airs from when we can get through on this booty blog talk on this booty blog talk radio station. Oh, my God. Just problems after problems after problems. Why me? Why me? Anyway, it's just about 20 minutes past the hour. In fact, it was a break time right there. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me and hanging in there with the nonsense with the Ron Kelly Show. You know, trying to keep things in one piece here. I see we have a call. I think Reverend Robinson is here. Reverend Robinson, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning.
How are you? Reverend Robinson's calling from South Kakalaki, like they like to say. Everybody, and we're going to talk this morning a little bit about. Prison reentry. I apologize. I'm being told I'm not. Nobody can hear me. I'm trying to text people while I'm on the air, trying to find out what's going on right now. I may have to stop the show for a second and call into the show rather than to do it the way I'm doing it now. But anyway, Rev, it's good to hear from you. How's things going down there?
Pretty good so far, Brother Ryan. You know,
right,
it's a lot
good,
of work.
All right, Rev. Somebody just said they can hear me. So my co-host, Lamont Gates, who's here, and sometimes he's here, sometimes he's not. He's doing his own show. It's called Real Social Talk, and it comes on at 2:30 this afternoon right here on blogtalkradio.com. I don't know if he's having issues. I'm having. But anyway. Check out Lamont this afternoon at 2:30. I think it's going to be a rebroadcast. I think I read it on his page. Go to his page, Lamont Gates, on Facebook, and you can find out what's going on with his show. All right, Rev, so we talked a little bit this morning about prison reentry, and we did talk a little, you and I do have a history, and we did talk a little bit this morning prior to coming on the air about prison reentry, and, you know, and I got to play devil's advocate, Rev, and I understand that, I understand, you know, the problems that men face, black men, white people do now. White people get the same bad treatment.
Everybody.
Anybody who's an ex-con gets the bad treatment. But before we go on any further, Rev, I just want to introduce and say good morning to my co-host and the host of Real Social Talk, the unflappable one. He goes by the name of Lamont Gates. Good morning, Lamont. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. How are you doing? Doing great myself.
Absolutely, Lamont. Doing well. I was right about the rebroadcast that's going to be going on this afternoon on your
show.
That was
actually broadcasted yesterday, but people can still catch the archive version. I won't be doing a newer show until next week.
Okay, so your show was on Saturday, not Sunday? Is that how it's going?
No, there was a big mix-up. I had technical problems myself, as I see you're having also today, so I decided to air last week's show topics yesterday, and I'll start fresh Sunday next week.
Okay, all right. So, everybody, Lamont Gates, not this week, but if you want to hear that rebroadcast, if you want to hear the archives of the Ron Kelly Show or Real Social Talk, you can just go on to blogtheradio.com /either the Ron Kelly Show or Real Social Talk Radio. All right, everybody. So, all right, we're talking a little bit. I'm talking with Reverend Joseph Robinson, who's an advocate of the returning, he likes to call them returning citizens. I don't necessarily call them that, but he likes to call them returning citizens. And in a lot of ways, Lamont, they are returning citizens, folks who are coming out of the prison system and being ostracized, almost like the leper colony of back in the day, where they can't get jobs, they can't vote, and, et cetera, et cetera. But as I was saying to Reverend Robinson, I read, white people get treated the same way. Now, this isn't it's white people get treated the same way when they come out of prison as black folk now. Is that right?
Some do.
Okay. Now we know about the disparity in the prison system. You know, every other day you're reading about somebody who was released from prison after 25 years because there was no DNA sequencing at the time that they were arrested. So you hear that that people are getting out of prison, and it just breaks my heart to hear somebody, you know, a man who went to jail in his prime and comes out as an older man in his 40s or 50s, who spent so many years in prison, Reverend Robinson, and was not guilty. It just mm-hmm. breaks my heart to hear that. Speak to that for me.
Well, unfortunately, that's a reality, man. You know, they have a saying that everybody in prison said they're innocent. But the realities are there are a lot of innocent men and women from all walks of life sitting in prison that shouldn't be there. But, you know, because of their circumstances and wrong place, wrong time, or affiliations and associations, they're where they are, you know. So, but that's a reality.
Let's talk about the Innocence Project for a second. Rev, because, you know, we're addressing, and Lamont, you can jump in at any time, we're addressing the after effect, the aftermath,
mm-hmm.
okay? But, you know, there is such a thing called the Innocence Project, where law schools and universities take cases of questionable prosecutions, I should say, and they do
mm-hmm.
take these cases, and these are like mostly like white law students who are taking these cases, looking into them, and trying to find out what happened in regards to some of these questionable cases. Now, what is the black community? I've seen the black community is not really that involved in the Innocence Project and these type of things, and there's and it's mostly black folks who are incarcerated with questionable evidence or shaky evidence or bad IDs and these type of things. There's quite a few well-to-do black folks in this country who had money and who put $1 million apiece together. If there's 300 black millionaires, they put $1 million apiece, there's $3 million. So what about the what are we doing about the about the Innocence Project and these type of things that are going on, Rev? Is anybody that you're associated with trying to do anything to get some of these men out of jail who have been wrongly prosecuted?
I think what has to happen, there has to be some more energy focused on identifying individuals, community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, and even some for-profit companies that have a social mind or social heart, if you will, for social justice. I think we need to be mindful. There's a lot of things going on that are unknown, if you will. There's a lot of resources available for returning citizen population, but because there's, I would say, not enough marketing or advertising or, you know, or individuals who are responsible for working with these individuals as they're being discharged from the prison industrial complexes. You know, so I just think that there needs to really be some effort done to, I mean, there have been some things done in Patterson, Passaic County, the state of New Jersey, and across, you know, several other states and across the globe that have took the initiative to identify individuals, organizations, whether it be communities of faith or non-faith, to document and put in some local community directories of where men and women coming home from prison can go and get supportive services, wraparound services. So, you know, my experience from one that was done in Patterson and Passaic County, it did a good job. But then after you examine the whole thing from the beginning to the end, you'll find that there were a lot of other services that were left out. Not intentionally, but because the folks that were compiling that information didn't know about the other groups, you know, because most groups, just like our ministry, we don't advertise in the paper. We don't advertise online. We don't advertise. We don't do any marketing or spending resources in marketing. Not that that's a bad thing, but when you're working with scarce resources, we choose to work with the priority, providing housing, providing, you know, family integration services, individual counseling, anger management, behavior mods, rather than spending the resources that we are able to realize on marketing too. So we rely on mouth to mouth, word to word. Let the individual who comes in that is a recipient of our services, if it benefits him or her or their family, let them tell somebody. And that's how we've been doing for the last 30 years.
Now, Rev, and
we don't have a shortage.
Okay, now, here's one of the things that I've been saying forever about witness identification, for example, because witness identification is one of the reasons why there's so many black men, who are in prison. I'm so I can hear myself, and I can hear myself in the background. There's so many African-American men in prison because of bad ID. And witness identification is one of the big problems. And I've always said that nobody should go to jail and spend years in prison based on what someone else said, because a person can be wrong. So what we're doing is essentially we're saying that, you know, we're basing the entire prosecution on what someone says. You don't know if they're, you don't know if the identification is race-based, or, you know, it could be any black man will do in some cases. And what the police chief of Tucson, Arizona is doing is he's implementing a program where the detectives that are investigating the case have no contact with witnesses, Lamar Gates. The people, because the investigating officer, in his zeal to close the case, sometimes encourages an ID of the person that they think is the one who did it. So what this gentleman is doing, and I applaud him for that, is that he's keeping the investigating officers away from the witnesses, so therefore the police officer can't encourage the person to identify the person that they think committed the crime. And I think that's a big step toward... it's a big step toward, you know, eradicating some of these misidentifications and these men who are innocent wind up in prison. I think that's a great thing, and hopefully it'll spread across the country. because we all know, you know, you watch the first 48 and these type of shows, and you know these guys are thirsty for a conviction within that first 48-hour period, and they'll do whatever they have to do to get that conviction. I'm not saying all cops, I'm saying some of them, they do encourage.
I mean,
they
do encourage. But these are realities that we have to live with. So, yeah, not all law enforcement personalities are behave that way. But there's, unfortunately, a large percentage that do, so that, you know, but these are realities. So.
Well, how about not just committing a crime in the first place, Red? We talked about this earlier.
Say what now?
How about just not committing a crime in the first place? Now, we've talked about this, you and I. We talked earlier before the program went live. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, me, myself personally, I grew up in the hood, and, you know, I'm a product of a single-parent home, and my mother had eight kids, and you know, two of my brothers fell to the lure of the streets, and me, in a lot of ways, so did I. But I have no police record. So how about let's just not committing the crime at all, Rev? What are we? I mean, okay, I understand what you're doing as far as people coming out, but how about what are we doing to prevent them from going in?
Well, when we talk about prevention. Prevention needs to start from the age of two. And if those resources are not available in our communities for the home, because that's where the rearing, that's where the training, that's where the setting of the foundation and the standards have to happen and constantly be reinforced in the home. But then the realities are, you know, go in some of the homes in the hoods, and then you'll know why that foundation, in terms of principle, moral, ethics, value, character, integrity, is absent in the life of the individual who may have committed a crime or been affiliated or associated with those that commit heinous crimes. So, again, you know, that's not in every home in every urban center. But when you do the math, it's an alarming high number in terms of the individuals that are exposed in some unhealthy environments. Not because they wanted it to be, but because of circumstances. And again, there's no right way to do wrong.
Right.
But, you know, but at the same token, where there is a need for access to resources, and then there is the barriers and the denial of accessing those resources, then it develops the spirit of survival by any means necessary.
Well, let's talk a little bit. Now, we have Lamont Gates, for example. Lamont is my co-host here on the show, and he hosts his own show. Lamont is a product of a single-parent household, and he grew up in the city of Paterson, New Jersey, which is in Sunnybrook Farms. And, you know, he graduated from college, and right now he's working on his master's degree. So, it's not where you're from, it's what you do. And
it's how you do what you do.
Yeah, speak to that a little bit, Lamont. Let me bring you in. Let me drag Lamont in.
Well, there are a number of what we call lifespan pathways, and a lot of researchers and psychologists really still have not pinpointed why two people growing up, for example, in a housing project, surrounded by crime, surrounded by violence, and so on and so forth, and one breaks off and, as you stated, goes on and gets their doctorate degree while the other one stays back and continues engulfed in the life of crime that both of them were once in. There's no real pinpointing in as to why that happens. There's a number of factors. One can say that there are environmental factors that influenced the one who went to college, such as school. When he went to school, maybe there were teachers that influenced him, and he said, hey, I want to better myself just like this teacher. And so he went on, and then he graduated, whereas the other person was more influenced by the streets. So it depends which one is magnetically pulling you and drawing you, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Now, when we talk about resources and things of that nature, yes, versus the suburban areas, you can say there's a lack of money, there's a lack of, programs specifically geared and designed towards minorities in the inner cities.
But at the same time, I think we need to, I think the urban and minority communities need to look at the things that they do have. For example, I've spoke about this many times. If you are underprivileged economically, there are Pell Grants. There are Pell Grants that will send you to college free of charge. I mean, you can start out in a community college and then cross over into a four-year college and use that as a stepping stone to go even further. We spoke about knowledge and information. It could be that they don't know that these things exist for them, or it just could be, lifespan pathways. It could be that they're, for some reason, just not interested. The lure of the streets have pulled them in. Hello? Are we here?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Things got,
I'm sorry. I shut my mic off. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I shut my mic off because of the noise from the computer, so I shut my mic off. Because actually, I have another computer set up to do the show, which I'll be doing next week. From my day, so there won't be any more noise in the background, hopefully. Lamont, you made an excellent point. There is no blueprint, or there's no hard evidence where we can see the difference between a kid that two kids grow up in CCP. One becomes a doctor and one becomes a drug dealer. There's no way to determine who's going to do what. But I think it's
we'll put it this way, Ron. I think even though we have influences, there still is a level of being able to control ourselves. In other words, there is a level of choice. You know, it depends how much willpower the person is willing to put forward to make that step away from the crime and the violence and the lore of the streets.
Well, you know, and that's true. See, because, when I was coming up, my mom, I really believe Lamont is what's in that kid from birth. What's in that kid? Because my mother had eight children. My dad wasn't there. And she didn't really have time for me because my older brothers and sisters, I have five brothers and sisters that were older than me. So she, her hands were full with them. So my mother really didn't have much time to be with me. But, when I hung out with my friends and when they went to go steal cars and stuff like that, when they wanted to steal cars, I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I don't know if it was in my DNA or if it's just what my mother taught me. I just felt, for me, I felt bad taking something from somebody else. So I think the Lamont, that it's a thing from individual to individual in regards to whether they're going to grow up into a life of crime or do something positive for the community. I think it's, goes from individual to individual in my case. That's what I think,
Because
it's a combination of factors. Yeah, I think it's in your DNA. I don't know, because, low self-esteem will have you joining the Crips and the Bloods because your self-esteem is low and you are, So, again, there's probably a variety of factors that factor into whether a kid grows up into a life of crime or, comes out to be someone who doesn't have a police record. All right, so Red, give me some information in regards to how people can contact you, and I understand you have a website and you have some other things going on down there, and we want to put it out to the people how they can contact you, call you, contact you, those who might be out in the area, because the show goes all across the country, so give me some information about how people can contact you.
Well, the number to the office is 704-910-2589. That's the office number. My mobile number is 704-819-7897. Our website is www.P like in Paul, R like in Red, E like in Earth, INC.org.
Okay. All right, we'll get into the recycling thing on another broadcast. We'll get into that and get more into this and what you're doing in another broadcast. Right? You're welcome to call the program at any time. Just let me know what day you're going to be welcome to call the program at any time. Okay, all right, Rebby, thank you for calling in, my brother. And you keep
Amen. Thank y'all for having us.
Oh, no problem.
Good to hear you.
And hopefully we can hear from some of the people you're working with down there in another show. All right, Rev. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
I'll be in touch. Have a blessed one now.
You too, Rev. Thank you so much. All right. Lamont Gates. I would think no, you know what? We're gonna give up the break, Lamont. We're gonna go straight through. I know you heard about this Planet of the Apes Michelle Obama characterization from this cool Univision host.
Yes, I did.
Oh boy. You would think Lamont Gates, that after 6 years, people would say, well, you know what, maybe I shouldn't say nothing about the First Lady and the President because it might get me fired. But no, not this guy. Who's an Emmy
or about race in general, yeah.
Yeah, Emmy winner who's worked at Univision for 17 years and who won an Emmy, a daytime Emmy, for his work over there. And. And he says, we're gonna try to squeeze in a few things here before we get out of here. We got about 15 minutes left. I think we can do it. And he says that it was an. Let me see. I had the article right. He said it wasn't meant for her. You know,
that's
and
what he said, yes.
And it clearly, Lamont Gates, clearly, it says that he. Did Michelle Obama look like a member of the cast of the Planet of the Apes? That's what he said.
Well, I think from what happened was they were doing makeup sketches of celebrities or something of that nature, and when the sketch came up of Michelle Obama, he said that looks like an image of the Planet of the Apes. So what he's trying to argue is that he wasn't talking about the First Lady; he was talking about the sketch image. So. You know, I guess you could take it any way you want to take it, whether you believe that he was talking about her as being a black woman and being Planet of the Apes or the actual image. That's what he's trying to argue now. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Univision got rid of him because I'm assuming they didn't want any bad press.
No, and Univision has worked very closely with the president. You know, he's been on Univision many times. During his campaigns addressing the Latino community. But during the Wednesday broadcast, here's what it says, Lamont. During the Wednesday broadcast, as he and other hosts commented on video of a makeup artist who transforms himself into different celebrities, including Mrs. Obama. Okay, so they were watching a video of a makeup artist who transforms himself into celebrities. Okay, including Mrs. Obama. The Figueroa said, and I quote, well, watch out. You know that Michelle Obama looks like she's from the cast of Planet of the Apes, the movie. Now, he didn't say the makeup artist looks like Michelle Obama or Planet of the Apes, or the characterization of Michelle Obama looked like the Planet of the Apes. He said Michelle Obama looks like a cast member of the Planet of the Apes. And you can't misinterpret that.
Now, was he talking about Michelle Obama or the Michelle Obama in front of him? That's the question.
But he didn't specify that. The quote is this. Well, watch out. You know that Michelle Obama looks like she's from the cast of Planet of the Apes, the movie. Now, he didn't say the makeup artist characterization of Michelle Obama.
Right. Well, it wasn't clear.
He didn't say that. He just said Michelle Obama. Now, could it have been a slip? It's remotely possible, but the way he said it got him fired. Okay, Lamont, let's move on from that. 47 senators. I know. this really, I'm chuckling a little bit. This really isn't funny because these guys are playing with nuclear policy. They're playing with foreign policy that the president has the privilege and the pleasure of forming. Now, I know you read about this 47 clown senators who wrote a letter to Iran stating that any deal between the president and the other five or so countries that are involved in this will be null and void the day January 20th, 2017, when Barack Obama leaves office. Unbelievable, outrageous.
I spoke in full detail my yesterday show, the rebroadcasting of the show I did yesterday about the Netanyahu speech and about why Republicans are so one-sided about this and why Democrats didn't show up and why the president was not pleased with it. It all goes back to two aspects, and it's this. you and I both know since the president entered office, Republicans have staunchly been against him. That's just not, you know, a surprise to anyone. When it comes to Iran, however, it's a combination of that, and you have a number of right-wing Christian conservative Zionists in there who believe that Iran really wants to wipe Israel off the map, even though Iran has done absolutely nothing to Israel. They're not a threat to Israel. They're not a threat to anyone. So you have the combination of let's go against the president, and you have the combination of let's aid Israel because, you know, they need our help. Israel is in the Bible, and we are Christian Zionists, and so we must go against Iran. We must knock any deal that the president is trying to make with Iran right off of the table. And it's just sad, and it's just sickening at the same time. So that's why you got these guys. And again, Republicans, you know, these are the people that are primarily doing this stuff. And again, it's just no surprise to anyone.
Well, I am surprised at this. I beg to differ with you. I am surprised at this because they're really reaching this time. And see, the point that many folks are missing is that these negotiations are not to stop Iran from doing anything. These negotiations are to stop Israel from doing anything. Because, you know, Israel has been plotting for the longest to just fly into Iran with a couple of F-15 fighter jets, blow up the Iranian nuclear reactor and be done with it. They've done it in other places where they've flown into other countries and blown up certain things. So this isn't for Iran. This isn't to stop Iran, Lamont Gates. This is to stop Israel from doing something.
Well, Republicans really wouldn't mind if Israel blew anything up in Iran. You got to understand, that's the Zionist side of it. You know, remember Mitt Romney. He gave his speech, I believe it was the first or second debate with President Obama. He said, Israel, we have your side, and Palestinians, you have no right, and blah, 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 and dot, dot, dot. You know, again, these people, he was looking to go to war with someone just simply to side with Israel. So these Republicans don't mind Israel going to war. Of course, the president minds. He's trying to negotiate something that's peaceful, right? Something that can lift sanctions off of Iran and at the same time allow them to use the uranium as long as they don't actually make a bomb or anything terroristic out of it. You know, and to me, that's sensible. But Republicans they can care less.
No, Lamont, and see what's happening here. The president doesn't want to be dragged into a war. Because this is exactly what happens. If Iran and Israel go to war, Israel's friends are Iran's friends are gonna come. You know, we all know that Iran has a relationship with Russia and some of the other countries. We don't know how tight they are, but we do know that Iran has a relationship with Russia. You know, the last person we want to be scrapping with is Russia. So, you know, they have what we have, and there will be no winners, only millions and millions, maybe even billions of losers. So I don't understand the cavalier attitude of the Republicans in doing this. It's almost as if Lamont, they don't even know what the consequences could be, or they just think that America's got it going on so much that, you know, we don't have to worry about anybody coming after us. And they're sadly mistaken. I'm surprised at this. I think this is an overreach. You know, messing around with foreign policy, Lamont, is, you know, I just find this to be totally reprehensible.
I mean, the first overreach was inviting Netanyahu to Congress. I mean, and that, again, it shouldn't be surprising that they tried to contact Iran over the head of President Obama. I mean, they've always tried to overreach and outpower the president. That combined with their Zionist mentality for Israel, nothing surprises me with these people.
Another deep six in this. Lamont, now, Tony Robinson is a young man who was killed in Wisconsin. And, you know, this is becoming, apropos of course now. We don't know all the details, but what I know, what I've read, rather, is that this officer went into the house, much like Romali Graham, who was killed in his apartment by Officer Richard Haste, New York City Police Officer Richard Haste, killed LaWally Grant in his apartment by this young man, Tony Robinson, who was killed in his house as well by a police officer who says that he heard a disturbance and went in there. And they've already admitted that the young man had no gun, but he attacked the police officer. You know, I'm just getting a headache from all of this because the beat just goes on. I know we've talked about this and ad nauseum. We've talked about this, and it just continues to happen. I don't know how much you've heard about
this. Well, that's why I said you definitely need a break-off show, an activist/police brutality show going on aside from this one. Yeah, you're right. Again, all the information has not come out yet. Again, we have to go into that, sift through that to see exactly what the true facts of the case are. And CNN admitted themselves as well that they don't know the full story yet. So, and I believe this officer, though, if I'm not mistaken, was this officer also the same officer who shot someone in the past?
Yes, he did.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's definitely going to weigh down on the police department and on this particular officer as well. I mean, he had two bodies on his count. And so, again, we have to open up the facts and see exactly what took place here. Now, if the teen had no weapon on him, one would think that there would be no need to actually pull a trigger or even use your gun. I'm pretty sure cops are equipped with pepper spray at least and a nightstick if he really needed to fight him off without a weapon. So, again, we're going to have to look at this thing from all the factual standpoints as they come out.
Yeah, because there's no effort to preserve life, Lamont. There's no effort by the police department to preserve life. In the correction system, they have some of the most advanced non-lethal weapons in the world. Wood blocks and these types of things, rubber bullets, and I've seen them used. Let me tell you, when one of those rubber bullets hits you, you're going down because they hurt. And I've seen them used. If you can watch, the show Lockup. It comes on MSNBC on Saturdays, overnights, Friday nights, and Saturday nights. You can watch that, and you'll see that they use these weapons, and they are highly effective in stopping people from doing anything. Those rubber bullets, wood blocks, stun shields. There's all kinds of things that they could be using, and the first thing they do is reach for their gun. So, I don't know about the police brutality show of mine. I don't know if I want to do that, but I thought it would be appropriate to mention that here on this show, since it's part of the week in review. What observations have you made this week, Lamont? Let me throw it your way. What observations have you made about things that have gone on?
You discussed it. A big thing that happened over the weekend, there was a video that went viral. The number of girls fighting in McDonald's, and the big argument is that no one was there to help them. No one was there to jump in. Let's see. Of course, the Hillary Clinton emails. And
Republicans, we'll get to that next week. Yeah.
Yeah, you talk about overreaching and, in my personal opinion, desperation, looking for anything that they can. I just want to mention about the girls fighting in McDonald's and all that. You know, we just talked a few minutes ago with a reverend about resources and lifespan pathways, why certain minority youths choose to go one way or the other, and when they are disrupting society by way of violence, you know, why certain people aren't jumping in also has many factors. People say, well, everyone should have just jumped in. Now, I know to a high degree, a lot of those people were standing around enjoying themselves, all right? Not only were they enjoying themselves, we live in the age of not only information, but I say dissemination. People were filming this thing, Ron, purposely to put it up on sites such as YouTube and Facebook in order just to get hits and popularity for presenting the particular video. I think those people are more at fault than just about anybody else.
I think so too, Lamont, because you're right, on World Star Hip Hop, you see more fights and and ghetto nonsense and people getting beat up. And they even had two grannies out there boxing on one. And I just had to laugh. They had two grannies out there with their poses up boxing in the middle of the street.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And that's the type of desensitization, right, and that's the type of desensitization that is being presented to our youth. See, they have things today that we didn't have growing up when we were children. We didn't have internet. So we couldn't see these live fights, and we couldn't see people praising them by way of their comment sections and clicking likes. And, you know, it's just influencing, I think, our young people so much negatively today than ever before, to the point where I don't know where our future is going to go if this continues to, you know, to escalate.
Yeah, I agree with Lamont. Our future is no future if this continues to happen, because you're right. You know, youth are so influenced by social media. We didn't have these things. And while the internet has been largely beneficial to society, but on the other hand, there's an element of social media that is detrimental to our society. And with these videos and sexting and texting and, you know, all these things that are going on, it's just going to contribute to the decline of our society, Lamont. It already has contributed to the decline.
Instead of videoing the thing, use it to call the cops or the authorities.
We got about 6 seconds left, and nobody called the police, and they're saying that none of the adults who were in the restaurant did anything, and I don't blame them. I wouldn't have jumped into that either. You got 50 kids fighting. They're not going to turn their angst on to me. But we'll talk Hillary email, because the Congress, Lamont, you made reference to the Hillary email, and the Congress doesn't have to, it makes its own rules, and it doesn't even have to use private email. It doesn't have to use government emails either. So, they use their private email. So we'll talk about that next week and a whole bunch of other stuff right here on the Lamont Kelly Show. Everybody, don't forget, next Sunday after my show, it's Real Social Talk with Lamont Gates, right here on blogtalkradio.com. So everybody, we're going to break out of here. Thank you so much. Apologize for whatever went on. I think I turned my mic down too low, Lamont. I turned it down too low. I think that's what happened. But for Lamont Gates, everybody, we thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you back here next week. Take care. We're gone.